This is KUTX 98.9. I'm Matt Riley, and I'm joined by a very special guest, Mr. Matthew McConaughey. How we doing?
We doing good, Matt. We're doing real good, bud.
So thanks for stopping by, and thank you so much for supporting KUTX.
My pleasure, man. I've wanted to. It was really nice to get in here and see the inner workings of what y'all got going, because I've only heard you from the outside, and I sure do enjoy it.
Beats getting a real job.
That's how we say it. Keep getting away with it.
I know. I'm waiting to get caught. So you're in our building, actually, a few times a year, because you teach a class upstairs as part of the radio, TV, film department here at UT, and it's called Script to Screen.
Yep.
So talk a little bit about that.
I noticed after about, 15 years of doing what I do and making films, how different the original script was from the final product that was exhibited on the screen. And I thought about what, my time in film school here, and I taught about the practical things I've understood. First, starting with working on Days Confused in the summer of 92 here, that 3 weeks of practical work on that set in Linklater's film was invaluable and so much different, more practical than what I was learning in the classroom. So I said, look, I want to offer a class that's the one I wish they would have offered me when I was here. So what we do is I go to make a film, I talk with the producers and the filmmaker, and we pick out about 35 students here that are serious, want to be filmmakers, and we chronologically take them through the journey a script goes through. We start them off with the source material, whether that's a book or the very first script. They then have to come up and declare what kind of movie do they see in that script. We talk to them about budget, who was cast. They declare all these things on their own as well. Then we give them the next script, and they see changes. Why do we make the changes? They declare if they like the changes or they don't. We tell them why we made the changes, and so on and so on and so on, all the way up to the final shooting script and then the final movie. So what we're doing is we're giving them the science behind the magic of how a movie gets made.
And are you making 35 movies?
Are we making 35 movies?
Yeah, is everybody in the class?
No. They follow one movie, I've made.
I see.
So okay. I'm make a movie, and then I have the director come back with me. We break down a couple of scenes from this. They're studying a movie that I've made.
Gotcha.
That I'm acting in for an entire semester. And at the end of that semester, we come back with the director, talk through it with them, and then they get to see the movie. So they get to see what the difference of that original script they read to the actual movie that's up on the screen.
What would be the hardest of your movies to do, you think?
I mean, there's a bandwidth here. If we were going to break down something like Interstellar, which is a huge budget, a six-month shoot, it's a massive undertaking with a much larger budget, bigger locations, everything else. Something like The Beach Bum, which is a more of a $5 million Harmony Korine comedy that we just shot in Miami in 5 weeks, is probably something that these students can understand better, because if they're going to make films, they're going to be making them closer to that level than they would be making a blockbuster Christopher Nolan movie like Interstellar.
Sure.
So we're talking, today we learned things like, we shot The Beach Bum on film and shot in Miami. Well, Miami, Florida gives no tax incentive, and film costs a lot more and is a lot more timely than shooting video. So basically, the director chose a location and the look of film over having twice as much money and 15 more shoot days if he would have shot in Colombia and shot on video.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just putting all these different choices in front of them and showing them why we made the choices. They don't have to agree, but we're really trying to help these students get their own point of view about what it is that they want to make. And today, it's easier to make or put a story into moving pictures than ever before. You got phones you can do it on. So we're just kind of urging them, saying, start now. There's sort of a general through line that's been through every director we've come in here with. And when the students say, what would you recommend? It starts shooting now. Pick up the cameras, tell a story in moving pictures right now. You can tell a story in your bedroom if you want to. You just got to start finding your personal point of view now, and don't be afraid to screw up.
Right. Well, that's great, because so much of academia, I guess, is not practical. And you're also giving back. You're reaching back.
Yeah, man. I'm reaching back right here in my backyard.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of your backyard, you could live anywhere. Why do you still live in Austin?
So I went to school here for 4 years. I then went out to Hollywood, got my career going, and moved back here for about 4 or 5 years, and then moved out of here, I think, in around 2000, back to Malibu, California. And then I was down here handling some family business. And I looked around, I noticed my mom was 77 at the time. And I was like, that's sincere fourth quarter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be near her. And then my now wife and I started having children. And that was the second thing. The 30% more common sense around here. An hour feels like 60 minutes. A mile feels like a mile. I wanted my children to grow up with a lot of the values that I got in Texas and also particularly in Austin I wanted to come back to. And so we moved the whole family back here. And this is what we call home. And yeah, I am proud to say I can live anywhere I want to on this planet. And we live right here in Austin, Texas.
Does music factor in?
Yeah, and not just literally music, but there's a music and a vibe to the entire city. There's an ambiance that is very musical without even having a mic plugged in this city. I go out, I don't hit live shows every single weekend, but if you're obviously in Austin, you're going to be influenced by the music. If you're riding around listening to this station, you're going to be influenced by the DNA of Austin, which you guys represent on the music scene. But there's a music to the pace of Austin. There's a music to the way people treat people in Austin. And that's probably the music that most has me calling this home.
So the changes that you've seen since you were in undergrad here versus today, that hasn't spooked you at all?
No, it hadn't spooked me. It hadn't spooked me, but it concerns me. You know, like I think all of us who call Austin home and appreciate this place does. I've talked to people all the time about Austin, and I don't want to be one of those guys that's ever going to be nostalgic and go, oh, boy, what about the good old days?
This place is so much better before they built Mopac. we still get that sometimes.
You can go, okay, but what's constructive about that?
Right.
You know, and I tell you what, I'd like to read something I put together this morning. Little notes have been keeping up on Austin. It's sort of a little love poem.
Sure.
Constitution, if you were, about Austin, who we are, where we are now, where I think we're going. Mm-hmm. So let me just have a little read. So it's true. We are going through adolescence right now. And we cannot let our popularity make us a cliche because we are not a fad, a whim, or a hobby. Austin has been and is a movement. We're classic, a living legend, a natural law. Our identity will not be hijacked by affluences and socialites, i.e., who's got more money and who's at what party. We got to shake hands with the fact that we are not a village anymore. Yet at the same time, preserve the values of our village while embracing our growth. We have a constitution here. We got do's and don'ts. We've earned the right to remind ourselves and educate the newcomers of our value system. Now, we got a very simple rule here in Austin, which I recognized very early when I came here in 92. Simple rule. In Austin, all you got to be is you, which is different from being the you that you think people want you to be. We cannot allow our growth and marketability to interrupt us from being ourselves. Austin, where nobody's too good and everybody's good enough. We got soul. We measure success by quality of our livelihoods, not the size of our wallets. We don't walk over people's backs or stab them in it to get where we're going. We walk side by side. And we lend a helping hand to someone in need before they even ask for it. We share good ideas for free, more than any other city I've ever been in. We are not, I like this one, we are not a horn honking town. And an accident can still be handled with a sincere, hey man, I'm sorry, rather than a lawsuit. We do not chase relevance or acknowledgement from outside ourselves. We mind our own business, not yours. We value private property. That's why we don't litter, rubberneck, or looky-loo. Because once again, in Austin, rule number one's simple. All you got to be is you.
Well done.
I think we get a dialogue started here.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is, because I came here in the 90s also, and this was like the place you came because you didn't want to be a banker or in commercial real estate or whatever. Mm-hmm. I do get a little concerned, and I look at this through a music lens. I do get a little concerned about the health of our vibe because is it gonna become San Francisco?
Yay.
Is tech gonna
too
drive
much
up,
trouble?
Is it gonna drive up costs so much that everybody moves to San Antonio or something?
Yeah, and that's that question we gotta ask ourselves. What do we call value and quality of life here? Do we wanna be a little Silicon Valley? I don't think so.
Or can you have both?
Can you have both? And that's the part we got to embrace, because we're not going to stop the progress.
Right.
Yet how do we solidify the values of who we are? Because we are different, and we're here for a reason. And I don't think our soul's ever going to be broken, but it is being threatened if we're lazy about it.
Right. And that's, you know, that's kind of our mission here at KTX, is to be the soundtrack to being different. I tell the staff, like, we're the soundtrack to camp. Like, living here can kind of feel like being at camp.
Yep.
Because there's a festival every weekend, and there are people walking around in costume all day. And it's a fun place to be.
Yep.
And if we can kind of do our part to maintain, you know, the fun aspect, but still be credible.
Yeah.
I
don't think Austin's ever, the DNA of Austin's never been to be eccentric for eccentricity's sake.
True.
You know, so the integrity along with the fun is a part of what's real quality of life here.
Yeah. It's an open city, as they call it, because you can find your Austin. Ian McLagan, he was in The Faces. He passed on a few years ago, but he used to say that all the time. Find your Austin.
Yep.
And hopefully people are still doing that.
Which, in my opinion, is BU.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when a place gets popular, like Austin has, a lot of people come here trying to act like what they think Austin wants them to be. And that's not necessarily being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when I first came here to college, my brother had said, you're going to love it. I go, well, why? I've never been. He goes, you're going to walk in. He goes, you go to Austin, you pull up to a bar, you may have a Texas Ranger to your left, a Native American Indian to your right, a lesbian on the other side of them, and a redneck on the other side of her, and everyone's getting along. You know? Right. I mean, I have neighbors here that they have during elections, there was a Trump sign in one yard, a Hillary Clinton sign in the next yard, and a Bernie sign in the next yard. Each morning, those signs were still in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And those neighbors actually still conversed and got along.
Right. Yeah. It's the person-to-person interaction that sort of gets rid of all the other garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of the interpersonal relationships, so you have a relationship with Mack Brown, former Longhorns coach, and Jack Ingram.
Yep.
And you guys, for the last few years, have been putting on an event. Give me a little background on that.
Well, about 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I get a call from Mac and says, hey, Jack Ingram and I would like to meet you. We went out and met at Spanish Oaks and we sat down. And Jack's idea was, look, the Ben Willie Darrell tournament was a great tournament. And his dad loved it. And I'd been a couple times and loved it. And he goes, you know, let's revitalize that in their spirit. And let's have a big show, a headliner one night. And then the next night, let's do what I know was Daryl's favorite, was let's get these singer-songwriters coming in and tell their story. Let's let these singers, these songwriters get up there and talk about where this song came from. They get the crowd listening, then they start to play it, and then the audience goes, oh, that's my favorite George Strait song, or whatever that was. So let's give them their time up here, the songwriters. And that's the really sort of camaraderie, cozy, cool night. That Friday night has an amazing cool factor. And all of our money is going to our different charities. Max, myself, and Jax, we split it three ways. And we're all doing stuff to empower kiddos and give kids a chance. I know, like with my Just Keep Living Foundation, give them a chance to, make the right life choices that are going to pay them back later on, to succeed later on, once they're out of high school, in society, when in the wrong choice has much more dire consequences.
And who's the headliner this year?
The Dixie Chicks headline. Yes, sir.
Nicely done.
Right?
And that's at ACL Live?
That is.
Very cool. Well, that's great to see that's still going on and staying strong. And, thank you for doing what you do here for Austin and hanging out, listening.
I appreciate Austin, man. Yeah. And Austin, appreciates me, and we get along quite well. And I sure enjoy your station. You know, you guys, I've said the word DNA a couple of times. I think that's what you guys put out there, is the DNA of quintessential Austin, through your music, your vibes, the way you don't over-dramatize even bad news. Thank you very much.
We try. So thank you.
You're welcome.